Hey guys, this is Ashley and Rich here with episode 104 of Dojo and Dynamite. I think it's 104. It is Saturday, March 9th. Yesterday was International Women's Day, so happy International Women's Day to all the lovely ladies out there. Today is our dear friend Sebastian's birthday, so shout out to Sebastian if you're listening. And it is a rainy Saturday here in New Jersey, but Rich and I are winding down the day, watching Collision, and getting ready to talk about some AEW Revolution and Dynamite.
Yeah, it's been a long time. And I mean, I apologize to everybody that's disappointed that we kind of closed up shop. But obviously life gets in the way sometimes. But at the same time, I mean, AEW, we said this last time. We had listened to the last episode of the podcast.
June 2023, Forbidden Door.
Yeah, it was kind of like a State of the Union, kind of like a return for that event. I mean, it's almost a year ago. But the reality of that situation is that AEW was the same. For a year, it was the same. I mean, you know, maybe it's the since 2022. I mean, really, since the past 2 years of Dynamite have been tough. I mean, people say, you know, AEW kind of stagnated or whatever it happens to be. They criticize Tony Khan. It's not fair criticism. Booking it's not a fair criticism. It's a situation that it just doesn't have the same life. If it's story-related, if it's in line with how much, if you think about it this way, how much should the things that are happening on television matter each and every week? How much should each match matter every single week?
No, I was going to say that's a hard thing to answer, right? Because there's long-term storytelling. You know, everything has a meaning, but you can't go balls to the wall every single week given, I don't know.
Right, but why do you have matches like right now? Why it's Shane Taylor and Bryan Danielson for what reason?
On Collision.
On Collision. What is the reason for the match happening? I understand when you do it. Look, we'll go back to Dynamite really quick, right? We'll go all over the place today. Killswitch took on Matt Menard.
Yes.
Right? But the reason why it happened was because of what happened at Revolution. Daniel Garcia, Christian Cage in the TNT Championship match to start that show.
Yep.
You kind of have guys getting involved. All the parts of these parties attack each other. Christian Cage sets up Killswitch because of the annoyance of Matt Menard, what had happened in the Daniel Garcia match, and now he's going to do it on Dynamite. Makes sense. Doesn't have to be these big stars all the time. Doesn't have to be, as you said, balls to the wall all the time. But in this situation, it was a context to it. They set up the swerve match. That was fine.
Yeah.
But then Hook versus Brian Cage, I understand they were in that scramble, but I mean, why?
It was a good hardcore match. It was fun, but to like what's
Riho returns to fight Statlander.
Yeah.
But why? Not that it has to have a context, but there are things that are happening. Now, this past Dynamite, the reason why you wanted to come back for the podcast especially is because you felt energized.
Yeah, and it's the first time in a while. I mean, like you said, we took an extended hiatus, personal reasons, work, school, just life getting in the way, but also feeling like things were just kind of in a bit of a lull. I don't know if it was just Dynamite, if it was just wrestling in general. Like, we didn't go to as much GCW shows over the past year. Like, just things in general kind of felt like it was a bit of a lull. But since World's End, I feel like AEW's been getting back into the groove. And this past week especially, I know I felt and I saw a lot of hype on the internet. I was feeling super jazzed. Feel like we are back to like 2019. We're getting that energy. The crowd was crazy this week. There was so much life. And feels good.
Well, the question is it sustainable? Yeah, I mean, you feel like you're getting back. There's a couple of episodes where you feel like AEW kind of gets to where they were and then it falls flat again the next week, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later. Sometimes you wonder if there's just too much on the plate, especially of Tony Khan, if everything has to come through him creatively, decision-making-wise, and there's a lot on his plate when it comes to all the sports teams he has. It's just somebody else maybe needs to have the okay to make certain decisions. Now, we don't know the structure. But maybe with that in less involvement in that way where he has to kind of go over every little nuance, maybe it allows some of these stories to kind of flow a little bit better.
Well, there's also the balance, too, of you have all this talent that you do want to make sure gets featured, right? Like, these guys and girls should be on television, but it's that balance of how are you introducing new stories while advancing the ongoing stories, but also making sure everyone is featured across the board in some way.
Then you kind of come to the point, like, look at MJF. His title reign was long. He had no credible challengers or nobody that felt like they were going to unseat him at the top. How do you do that for a year and change and expect to conjure excitement? And I think that's where these criticisms kind of come. It's one of the reasons why the podcast kind of fell apart here. I mean, not that the podcast fell apart, but I think it's kind of a point where the podcast kind of became less and less and less because the energy, as you said, had become less and less and less. And the stagnation of can't miss became, I don't have to watch. Now, that's not true. We did watch every Dynamite.
Oh, yeah.
So it is not, that's not true. It's just that, have I watched every Collision? No.
No.
When was the last time that we watched Rampage?
Within the past 3 months, but we fell off with that too.
And like, there's a reason behind it. There's no excitement to it. You have matches that are thrown on there with no rhyme or reason, no context. And for a while, about a year ago, Rampage was just dark. But as you had just said, we came full circle back around to what it was.
Yes.
Revolution was fantastic.
And it is a marathon, not a sprint. And I feel like we are getting back to where we need to be.
Right. I mean, look at what Revolution had. I mean, we don't have to go through all
the... No, but you hit on it, right? That the show starts with Christian versus Daniel Garcia. TNT Championship, Christian wins. The Patriarchy, top tier.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Love the Patriarchy. Mother Wayne, Nick Wayne, Killswitch, like, great, great story.
And it doesn't matter how you really feel about Daniel Garcia. He's a fine challenger in that spot. I mean, they're opening the show. He's a good guy to have in that rotation. And now maybe, you know, it moves away from him. Obviously, Adam Copeland will, you know, on Dynamite comes out. After that whole Matt Menard kill switch situation, Adam Copeland comes out, chases Christian Cage. And now we're getting Cage Copeland 3, which is great.
Yeah,
it's fantastic,
and I quit
television.
Match.
And I'm anticipating or hoping and kind of expecting Adam Copeland to win the TNT title.
It's where I think it's heading, right?
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, not that Christian Cage hasn't been great, but I think it opens up a new door of challengers. Now, Christian Cage and the Patriarchy don't particularly need the TNT Championship to have it as an elevated faction.
Sure.
On the other hand, the TNT title has a lot of heel type challengers that are waiting in the wings. It's kind of difficult when you have to use, you know, Christian, such a large heel.
Yeah.
You know, he's such a large bad guy that it's hard in even a way to kind of line him up against other bad guys, right?
Yeah.
So now with Adam Copeland, you have a new list of guys that you're going to see challenge for the TNT title. It's a new list of guys that Adam Copeland's going to have the opportunity to work with.
Yeah. It keeps it fresh.
This is a very good story.
Yeah, for sure.
Adam Copeland and Christian Cage, of course, they go at each other immediately when he starts coming in. Surprising little direction for him, but nonetheless, I mean, it's working out.
Yeah.
I just didn't think they would go at it immediately. But you know what? Well, you can't ignore the elephant in the room.
No.
So you come and you do that, and they're going to conclude it in Toronto in a couple of weeks, which is another thing not miss television. Can't miss TV.
No, that's going to be huge.
So that's going to be big. You look over at the AEW Tag Team Championships.
Yep.
So obviously, Sting retains the titles, they drop the titles, it's going to be a tag team tournament.
Yeah.
And you wonder why maybe they didn't drop it to the Bucks, right? You maybe wonder why. Now maybe with Okada and the group, maybe it kind of makes sense because the titles would kind of fall the wayside of having Okada as part of the Elite, right? Because now it's sort of like this trios, Okada's part of the group, obviously you have this corporate entity, this corporate enterprise type character that's going on, and I think the titles would get swallowed up a little bit.
That's true, and he's not immediately going after the world championship, he's not going after Joe at this point, right?
No, so at the same time, you had a fantastic tag team match at Revolution, you had the Blackpool Combat Club against FTR.
Yep.
Which probably should have been for the belts. I mean, I understand the Sting situation, but that match was great.
Oh, yeah.
And now does that lead to maybe Moxley and Claudio getting a tag team title run down the line?
Certainly a possibility. But you talk about, you know, Sting's last match. And what a send-off, first of all. His sons are involved. We got Ric Flair, Steamboat, blood, glass, everything. What a send-off.
What a wild match. Who would have thought Sting would be doing glass bumps?
It was great, outstanding. Great. I know we're a few days past, so you know, I don't want this to be old news, but you talk about the fact that they retained. And I think everyone loved it. I had no issue with it. But, like, he gets a happy send-off, which he deserves. And then we as fans also get another awesome tournament out of it. So, like, I feel like everyone wins.
Yeah, well, now you're creating a spot for some of these tag teams that don't have direction right now.
Yeah.
To give them direction here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes sense. And now with the pay-per-view starting to kind of, you know, collect, you're getting one pay-per-view a month type of thing, one every other month. So now we got Dynasty coming in April,
yep.
April 21st. And maybe this will be that transition point where you don't necessarily have to have these stories taking place where you're going to have so many episodes of emptiness. You know, you're coming, let's say, from Dynamite. You're coming from World's End at the end of 2023
mm-hmm.
to Revolution, which was the first weekend of March. So you went January
yeah.
and February. And we used to go longer three years ago.
November to February, March.
But now you no longer, maybe the feeling is that you no longer have to have these big episodes of Dynamite because you have a pay-per-view closer. The problem is for 8 weeks, now I understand we got to build a story, but for 8 weeks, we got to get ready for Revolution. That can get a little stale. But now with closer pay-per-views, maybe even if the matches in essence don't matter as much, on each of the Dynamites, if they continue the same booking, I'm hoping they don't, but if they continue the same direction of not having story-related or, you know, kind of this emotion-connected matches, these mattered matches, these matches that matter on the Dynamites or on these collisions, just that shorter turnaround should probably allow for AEW, at the very least, to move from story to story quicker.
Yeah.
Even if you end up with the WWE thing where you end up with the best three matches or you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
When you have a match on three pay-per-views in a row, different style of match, the way that Copeland and Cage is going to be. But
sure.
If you do that, it's acceptable. But maybe you have more opportunity now with more pay-per-views to have more variety considering each of the feuds. So maybe you won't feel the same. There's a lot of change.
Yeah,
is there stage?
New set, new theme.
It was a new vibe.
Yeah.
They brought tunnels back.
A new vibe, but like an old vibe.
Yeah, an NXT 2.0 vibe.
No, AEW original vibe. They did the colors in the rainbow first, all right?
Yeah, but that was NXT.
No.
It looked like it.
I don't
see it. It smelled like it.
It did not.
It wasn't that it was bad. It didn't. I mean, I never watched the NXT, so I wouldn't have known the difference. I just know what it looked like.
So you would know the difference.
I would have no idea. It could have been. Listen, NXT could be WrestleMania every week. I wouldn't know. I don't turn the crap on television. It doesn't matter. It's not something that crosses the cable lines.
Still think to this day, I don't think I've ever watched an episode of NXT in its entirety.
Yeah. Well, I know what it looked like. And
it looked like what
Dynamite
discuss,
looked like
though.
On Wednesday.
AEW did it first.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway.
Back to the discussion. So, Revolution, great show. Eddie Kingston defeats Bryan Danielson, Continental Championship, huge win for Eddie. Love to see Danielson in action, so that was great. Wardlow wins the All-Star Scramble. Roderick Strong defeats Orange Cassidy for the International Championship. Tony Storm defeats Deonna Purrazzo. Ospreay making his debut, right? His AEW official.
Well, he's wrestled.
Under his new contract, defeating Konosuke Takeshita. That was amazing. I mean, Ospreay is on Collision right now, too. Just one hell of a talent.
Yeah, and I think the thing about Ospreay is that now that he's going to be featured full time, if the rumors are true, I don't necessarily believe it. I mean, Danielson is not an old guy. I mean, that's the
what
thing.
Are the rumors?
Well, that this is he's winding down.
Oh,
that
I
by the
didn't
time August
this.
Comes, he'll be transitioning more to part time, And that's fine. But having him transition, let's say, to part-time helps when you have guys like Ospreay come to the roster. Workhorses.
Mm-hmm.
These are guys that want to be out there. They want to wrestle a lot of people. They want to wrestle a lot of guys. And it took a long time for AEW to kind of circle back and bring Eddie Kingston back on television and giving him an opportunity to be on a weekly program. Because how long was Eddie Kingston gone for? I know he had the injury.
Yeah.
But I mean, how long was he gone for? You see the value he brings.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what you're discussing with the Eddie Kingston, Brian Danielson
stuff. Yeah.
Because Eddie Kingston's an extremely valuable talent. Now, I have said this maybe on a podcast before and may have tweeted it. I don't even know. But I will say that AEW needs to start taking the Ring of Honor titles off of television. They don't matter. And I think it drags down the product because the ROH is synonymous with development.
Yeah.
It's like NXT in a way, but it feels development level. I know they're giving it to top stars. Don't get me wrong. They're preparing also for the Supercard of Honor.
Yes.
But it is development level. And the stuff when they had this the past year where they would have Brian Cage in matches or they'd have that group, the Mogul, I understand that that's with Prince Nana, right?
Yep, and Swerve,
That's with Swerve in there. I get it. But it wasn't him. He wasn't in it. It was the guys that were a part of it. And they were defending their titles against other guys from Ring of Honor on television. And it's like, this isn't...
I don't disagree. I think I get trying to feature it. And I think sporadically that's cool, but if we were going to watch Ring of Honor, we'd watch Ring of Honor.
Correct, right. And there's nothing wrong with watching Ring
and
of Honor.
And we do watch Ring of Honor,
there's
but
nothing
I'm
wrong
watching,
with watching Ring of Honor.
Dynamite it's to watch just, Dynamite. And
you watch Dynamite to watch Dynamite.
Yeah.
You watch Collision to watch Collision. And if they want to do some type of small brand split, I understand. I understand.
But I think there is still a time and place, right? Like once in a while, okay, you have the tag titles defended or, you know, maybe the world championship or TV championship, but the level it was at, it was a bit much.
Yes, and maybe if that starts to die down.
And you're right,
though,
Supercard is coming up.
Supercard is coming up.
Totally get that.
Maybe if it dies down a little bit, we'll see more opportunity for guys. Like, you know, the six-man titles haven't been defended. You got the Bang Bang Gang, who are great, by the way.
Yeah.
You have the Acclaimed. And you got these both of these groups that should have been competing. Maybe they'll do it at Dynasty, but should have been competing for the six-man titles of AEW on pay-per-view at Revolution. Instead, they were on the buy-in.
Yeah.
I want to see this. At Dynasty, I want these six-man titles to be something. If you want to separate these belts and you want to put the six-man titles on Collision and you want to put the AEW tag team titles on Dynamite, makes sense. It's fine. The six-man division in AEW is the best six-man division, in my opinion, in any company. Because every iteration of it has been not so good. But AEW's done a good job.
And now you have the revamped Elite, who could be
but it's so
competing
saturated.
For that.
But it's so saturated with other championships, like the six-man belts of Ring of Honor. Like
yeah.
The Ring of Honor tag team titles, like the Ring of Honor television title. It's too much. We don't care about that crap. I care about the six-man title of AEW. Put it on television. Why is it not defended monthly? It doesn't have to be semi-monthly. Why is it not defended on Saturday on a Collision once a month? Don't know. When was the last time they defended it?
I don't know offhand.
No idea. Right. But because they've been teaming with the team that they're supposed to be facing at some point. They've been working together with the Bang Bang Scissor Gang. Which is funny, by the way. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a good story to kind of angle them to go after the belts at some point. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that, you know, it should be happening now. So hopefully by Dynasty, we get it happening. But that kind of brings you, you know, full circle to the main title, which was, we talked about MJF, obviously having the belt for so long. But Joe finally wins the AEW World title.
Yep.
Now all of a sudden, there's a whole new list of contenders, even if it's Adam Page, which is fine. But Swerve Strickland's become a major star for AEW.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this major triple threat match on pay-per-view. Swerve is fantastic in it. Samoa Joe defends the title, which is understandable. You don't want to take it off immediately.
Sure.
I get that. But maybe come Dynasty, there's a chance that maybe Swerve Strickland could be the new AEW World Champion.
Yeah, well, that's set up for a nice segment on Dynamite. Crowd absolutely loves Swerve. He's super over. The beef with him and Joe isn't over. There's more to come. And like you said, maybe Dynasty is that time.
It kind of makes sense. I mean, you've removed Adam Page from the picture with whatever it was. Okada and the Bucks are kind of in their own group. Kenny's not back.
Kenny's fired.
Right, Kenny got
from
fired.
From the Elite.
Kenny got fired.
But what I was saying to you on during Dynamite is I just hope they don't miss it with Swerve. Like, he's hot and there's a way that you can extend it, but you don't want it to go so long that you lose the momentum. So I just hope that's not the case because
I
love it.
Samoa Joe.
And oh, yeah.
Samoa Joe deserves to have a world championship, and he has had it. But Samoa Joe is the type of guy that absolutely does not have to hold it. And it's perfectly accepted. It's an acknowledgement, I think, from not only management, because Joe's great, but it's an acknowledgement, I think, to wrestling fans. It's an acknowledgement to Joe.
Oh, yeah.
About how he handled the CM Punk situation and how he's carried himself professionally with AEW. And I think it's been great to give Joe that spotlight, and he's been awesome.
Love it. Oh, but he's fucking fantastic.
But there's no reason why Swerve Strickland can't win the belt for a little while.
No.
But AEW doesn't like little whiles, do they? Because Swerve's so hot, you want to pull the trigger, but at the same time, you don't want to kill it. You don't want to oversaturate Swerve Strickland.
I know. I keep saying this, but it's a very delicate balance. It's not easy.
No, it's not easy. It's a very delicate balance. And I think it's not about the flip-flop kind of aspect, but mm-hmm. If Swerve goes a year with the belt from Dynasty, it's going to be too long.
Yeah.
How much can you really conjure of genuine competitiveness, selling pay-per-views, matches that you believe you're going to sell this pay-per-view? Samoa Joe is going to face Swerve Strickland in the main event, more likely than not, of Dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
There is a real possibility that Swerve Strickland wins the championship at Dynasty.
Yeah.
There is a feeling of, I would like to purchase this pay-per-view to see Swerve Strickland win the belt.
Yes.
In the past, when MJF was being challenged, there was never the feeling that MJF was going to lose this belt. And that hurts. It's not about MJF. It's just the reality of MJF fighting Orange Cassidy on pay-per-view. It's not that it happened, but I'm saying that.
It's that suspension of disbelief, right? And that trying to be engaged, and it's like, ugh.
The possibility.
Yeah.
Within the realm of possibility that something could happen, something could change. Because Revolution was one of the best, but Revolution was one of the best pay-per-views.
Yeah.
There was a possibility that Joe could lose in a triple threat.
Yeah.
There was the possibility that the tag team titles could change hands. There was the possibility that, because Deonna Purrazzo and Toni Storm's been awesome.
Oh my God, yeah.
Her and Luther awesome.
And Mariah May, it's amazing.
It's
Love
an
it.
Amazing story. She's an amazing character. I mean, it's great. And she's so, because she's not being fed lines, she is so genuine in the way that she conveys her character. Because she doesn't have to say things that are disgenuine to herself. So,
yes. So it's super, super natural feeling.
So when you get into the nitty gritty here, we obviously know Mercedes is coming next week. But Deonna Purrazzo legitimately could have won that championship. The way that they told that story, and Deonna Purrazzo, this is the best that Purrazzo's been. Because I watched some TNA,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen Deonna Purrazzo in TNA, and she's been fine, but this is the best that Purrazzo's been. Her promos have been great. The story was strong. Coming into this show, you didn't know who was going to win the championship.
No, and
there
I think...
there was a possibility that she could win.
Looking back at the card, I think the International Championship was the only one that changed hands. But to your point, every match had that feeling of you don't actually know what the outcome is going to be. And it was much more engaging.
I agree. And I think that's why when you're selling that aspect of buy this pay-per-view because Purrazzo could win the belt, because the Bucks could win the belt,
yep.
because Swerve or Hangman could win the belt. Not necessarily saying that Daniel Garcia is going to win the belt, but the reality is that you had all these championships. You had Roderick Strong versus Orange Cassidy. And Orange Cassidy has been just fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
He really has been fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Any criticisms on Orange Cassidy at this point and at this stage of AEW and at this stage of his career is just, come on. There's no level of respect that I can give more to the way that Orange Cassidy's carried himself, more to the way that he's presented the international championship, the quality of his opponents, the quality of his matches, and the way that he's portrayed that on television. Orange Cassidy is much-watched television.
Oh, yeah.
And Roderick Strong was great. Now, you know, I mean, screamy and yelly is not the best promo in the world, but, I mean, he was fine. Promos were fine. I mean, the Undisputed Kingdom is okay in itself. It kind of just feels a little bit redundant, almost rehashed.
I feel like
it's a little old.
It
kind of feels stale.
Yeah, and it still feels kind of like an extension of the MJF Devil thing. Like, obviously, that's where it came from here. Not loving it completely, but it's okay.
It's hard when you follow Ring of Honor. When
yeah.
We went to Ring of Honor, and we saw these guys together in Ring of Honor a decade ago. And now
but
we're
sometimes
having
that,
the same group.
That works, but this, it just feels
it
long.
It works when they weren't together since a decade ago.
Right.
And they're carrying over the same group in time. You know, it's, if, let's look at it from the NXT standpoint. These guys were together in NXT. Now,
yeah.
Minus Matt Taven, minus Mike Bennett.
Right.
But these guys were together in NXT.
Undisputed era, right?
Correct. Now they're the Undisputed Kingdom. Makes
yep.
total sense.
Yep.
They're the Kingdom. Mike
yeah,
Bennett
no, for
and,
sure.
And Matt Taven are in it. It's the Kingdom. Now you include everybody. Now it's kind of a full circle conclusion. I guess it does make sense.
No.
Because
it,
you've taken all these eras
yeah.
together, and you've now put them into one big group in the history of this team. Of
that's why
friends.
I don't hate it. Like, the relationships make sense.
The
There's
relationships
history.
Totally
and
make sense. It just, for some reason, it kind of feels a little bit,
it's just
a
not,
little bit stale.
Yeah, I'm not completely jiving with it. But it's okay. They have Wardlow now, which,
they
big
do,
money.
Yeah, that's, well, you don't have Bobby Fish. And you obviously don't have Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah, even though he's back.
So, yeah, mm. Kyle came out.
Yep.
They're going to have some type. I'm assuming Kyle's going to fight Roderick Strong, or am I missing, am I like wrong here with that one?
It's got to be heading towards, if not Roddy. Well, yeah, Adam's
yeah.
injured, so
I'm
yeah.
assuming he's going to be
yeah.
fighting Roddy for the international championship at some point. I guess that's kind of where I would anticipate that going.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily pop for the Undisputed Kingdom, but I think it's a fine faction. I think it's a little, like you said, it's kind of carryover with, you know, Adam Cole, and he's like in a wheelchair still.
Yeah, that's what, like, I appreciate the continuation from their Ring of Honor history, like we just discussed. But for me, it's giving that, it's taking me back to the Adam Cole MJF feud, which we just wanted to get out of because it went on for a long time, even though I did love their friendship. So I just feel like we're still kind of in a little bit of a loop. But Collision, we just had the debut of the new and improved Elite, Nicholas and Matthew Jackson, Kazuchika Okada. Let's talk about that. The Rainmaker debuted on Monday, joining forces on Monday, on Wednesday, joining forces with the greatest EVPs. I mean, tell us your thoughts. That's our guys are in a little faction together right now.
On
Come
Monday.
On Wednesday. Oh, Eddie's here. They're beating him down.
If Okada wins the Ring of Honor title, I swear to God. But anyway, I mean, I think it's fantastic. I really think that bringing Okada in as a bad guy with the Bucks, having him as corporate Okada, they rumor all the money he's making to come here, whether or not it's true or not. I think that's awesome. I think
oh,
that's
I love
great.
It.
I love it. I love every second of it. Penta's attacking him now.
Penta, yeah, I know. We're getting some live Collision commentary here. No, it's a great addition. Love it. Love setting up with, you know, potential Kenny feud. Kenny comes back.
Ew.
Oh no.
No. See, this is what I mean. This is the.
Well, that's an AEW belt.
Who cares?
Pac.
Yeah, that's
Pac
right.
is
that's
here.
Right. He got that promo at Revolution saying he was coming back soon, which is the first time that we've seen him in a while. So you're getting a lot of live action Matthew if you haven't watched Collision. So, you know, play Collision at the same time. Just fast forward to the EVP match. And you'll kind of get an idea of what's going on here.
Okada Pack? I could get behind that.
That's fine. Yeah. I just don't want to see Okada win some Ring of Honor title, please. You paid him a lot of money for that. But, you know, I mean, the Super
if
Card of Honor, you are building toward.
If they do announce them for the Super Card of Honor, we'll go.
No, it's okay.
No, I will go. You don't have to go. I'll do it.
I don't want to drive to Philadelphia. I'm sitting in the last row.
I will go. I'll take my Bronco, and we'll have a good time. But loved...
Who's we? You in the car?
Me and my Bronco, yeah. Okay. We'll have fun. I will say, you know, which Buck wore it best? Nicholas was rocking the purple this week, but it has to go to Okada. That corporate suit, man, I mean...
Once he came out in the suit, you knew.
So good.
It was
good.
A weird spot for him to come out, and I said, well, they have to do it, because AEW's done this better than anybody else, which is the reuniting of people. Rather than, you know, WWE always likes to do that tease and then the turn. And I think AEW just says, no, we're not going to turn them, we're just going to join them again. Because they're best friends.
And that's, we've talked about that forever, and I appreciate going back to what you said about Undisputed Kingdom, like, they acknowledge the history.
Sure, especially when he owns all the film, right? I mean, he owns Ring of Honor, so you might as well acknowledge what's on the film.
Like, you don't pretend it didn't happen, or they didn't know each other, or they didn't, you know, have these feuds or relationships. So I think it's awesome.
But we'll see where it goes. I mean, you like, you do have to build a Super Card of Honor. You are going to run that show, and it's going to be parallel to SmackDown, which has The Rock. So, I mean, you're going to have to put some type of show on that is going to sell it. I mean, I think it sold well, but you're going to have to compete with what's on television that night, which is kind of tough considering the audience that you're in there, because you got two nights of WrestleMania, you got a SmackDown, you got a Raw. So it's a tough area. I know AEW doesn't like to compete in that environment, but I know that Super Card of Honor is such a big thing, and it's always been a big thing. We got to go to that Super Card of Honor when we went down to Madison Square Garden. We got to see Okada wrestle Jay White.
The G1 Supercard of Honor.
G1 Supercard of Honor.
I went to Supercard of Honor 7, I think.
Yeah, Kevin Steen and Jay Briscoe.
Jay Briscoe, rest in peace.
That was pretty cool.
It was a good experience. It was fun. So a lot of history just with that show itself. It always hits.
Yeah,
so
that's why they're going to continue to run that. But
yeah.
I mean, you move forward with... You know, with that, you know, you're watching kind of these guys. We talked a little bit about pretty much everybody on the card from Revolution. We talked about, you know, Tony Storm, Perazzo. We talked about Okada debuting. We talked about the Bucks. We talked about Ospreay. We talked about Danielson a bit. And, you know, we talked a little bit about Sting. And it was a nice send out for Sting.
Yeah.
Undefeated in AEW.
Yep.
We've watched Sting. I've watched a lot of Sting.
Yeah, you have.
And I really... Sting was also one of the reasons... Kurt Angle, of course. But Sting was also one of the reasons why I watched a lot of TNA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kurt Angle and Sting. Of course, you know, the Dudleys were there and AJ Styles and Samoa Joe. And I used to watch, you know, Six Sides. It was an interesting little dynamic in TNA. And I love TNA. But one of the reasons that I really was a TNA pay-per-view purchaser type of... I'm going to watch TNA not only weekly, but I'm going to watch their TNA pay-per-views. You're going to take money from me. Was because you're main eventing with Sting. You had Kurt Angle and Sting. You had, you know, Christian Cage and Sting. Even if Jeff Jarrett found his way in there somehow. But regardless of that, you had Sting, which WWE never had, and they didn't have. And it was that feeling of, I would love, and I love the opportunity of watching a legend wrestle.
Yeah.
Not knowing I'd still... be watching and paying a pay-per-view to watch a wrestling legend put on a tremendous match in the main event of Sunday's Revolution.
I remember his AEW debut like yesterday, and that was my first real like exposure to Sting. I mean, we went back and watched the WCWs, but I didn't watch TNA growing up. Saw him versus Seth at whatever pay-per-view that was.
It was like Unforgiven, but it wasn't because it was like September. I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
The pay-per-views for WWE, it's probably Night of Champions.
But so I know I missed out on a lot in the moment, but seeing him debut and the time he had in AEW was, it was a treat. And it, like I said, what a send-off.
It was fantastic. And I mean, everything they did, Darby, of course, he's going to climb Mount Everest. I wish him the best.
Yes, that was a heartfelt promo. It was a beautiful promo on Wednesday.
People may have not taken that seriously. People die climbing Mount Everest.
I'm like, yes, like you said, I'm hoping for the best
and
for him.
It's a genuine,
God bless.
It's a genuine thing. It's going to be a very, very tough thing. And I wish
it's an amazing feat, but yeah, I hope everything's okay.
You know, he'll get to that point.
But him versus Jay White next Wednesday.
Yep. Which, again, it just wonder where Darby goes now. Not that he needed Sting, because Darby was fine without Sting.
Yeah, for sure.
What does Darby do now? I think that's going to be the big question. Because obviously, the whole Sting thing was emotional. Everybody was involved in it. Darby was talking about it post, and you know, but now what does Darby do?
Yeah.
Because now it's gonna be a character shift almost. Unless he holds together some of that Sting that he brought with him. You know, because he came out with the baseball bat, he had the face paint. Maybe he kinda holds more Sting. Maybe he becomes more Sting.
Continues the legend. Yeah.
Maybe he's more of a I'm going to make appearances type of character rather than a full-time every week wrestler type of thing, the way Sting was in WCW. I don't know.
It's possible.
I mean, Sting
it's
was
interesting to
week,
see,
but, you
though.
Know,
yeah.
Maybe it's more of a less wrestling, more of Darby Allin is here type of situation. We'll see if it gets over.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an interesting type of character shift. But, you know, those are types of things that I think, you know, you forget about sometimes when you're, you know, giving Sting this massive send-off, and you're thinking about, well, the Bucks, you know, they put him over, and it's a everybody was there to see Sting, and they deserve to go home happy, and it was the right move, because who cares, right? You can figure out what to do with the tag team.
There is it. We get a tournament out of it. That's awesome.
You can figure it out.
It's fine.
So you sent everybody home really, really happy.
No harm.
It was an amazing event. He had all his friends there. It was like a retirement party. You saw it all online. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But you kind of get lost in the shuffle, right? Darby does. You kind of get lost in that shuffle about what happens to Darby Allin now.
Well, that's why I'm glad that they gave him that promo spotlight on Wednesday.
Yeah, what direction does he go in? Yeah, that's kind of that question there. And you know, obviously, you have MJF on the mend.
Mm-hmm.
You have Kenny Omega on the mend.
Yep.
You have Mercedes probably, like I said before, coming next week.
Yep.
Britt Baker hasn't been around.
Jamie Hayter
hasn't been around. Riho's, maybe she's here full-time. She's wrestling Willow Nightingale.
Next week, yeah.
The women's roster's getting bolstered here.
Yeah.
Because I think Riho's great.
Love Riho.
Every match she's in is top quality. I mean, her match with Chris Statlander on Wednesday was very
good. Yeah, and you saw her devilish little grin after she...
I did, yeah.
She snuck out the win.
You always believed in evil Riho, so...
Love it.
There's always that, but... No, I completely agree. So I think when you're looking at that division itself, you're seeing them get bolstered. The tag team division is going to get stronger with the tournament. You're going to see a lot of guys coming back in, getting together. Don't know what's going to happen with Matt Hardy yet. I heard his contract expiring, so don't know if they're going to be involved in it. But you're going to have that. I want to see more of the six-man titles being competed for.
Was Trent and Orange Cassidy last night on Rampage?
They're the team. No, they were on Dynamite.
Or is it? No.
Their match was on Rampage. I have no idea what happened.
Okay, because I was going to say, I hope that...
I'm assuming they beat the Butcher and Kip Sabian.
Yeah, but the thing is, so I don't know what happened. We did not watch Rampage, so this might be wrong. But, like, I would be pretty pissed if Trent and Orange Cassidy win the belts before Trent and Chuck.
Yeah, it does kind of seem like best friends... As in Chuck Taylor and Trent Beretta would be the...
I would be a little...
Tag team champions first.
Little hurt if that were to be the case.
I just...
But want the best for Trent, so...
Why can't they win the big one?
I think they're good. I want them to win the big one, but like this just feels kind of wrong. But if they didn't win their match, then this is a moot point, so forgive us.
But we'll see how that comes together. Maybe, you never know, I mean, we'll see how this one goes. See how Ashley feels after this is all over. You know, after all the process. And maybe we'll be back next week.
Maybe. I hope so. We're feeling good.
We'll just see how Dynamite goes. Got a couple of... It's big business.
It's going to be a big... Feel like it's shaping up to be a big show. So, if I was a betting girl, I think we might be back next week.
But this one was short and sweet.
Yep, all over the place. It's been a while, but we just wanted to check in because we're feeling good about where we're heading.
Yeah, and I hope everybody else that listens is doing well.
Yes.
I hope that everybody has been doing well. It's been quite some time.
Yes.
And I hope that everybody is, I could say something cliche, like chasing their dreams, but I just hope everybody's healthy, well, having a good time, especially on Wednesday nights.
Happy, healthy, doing well, staying safe, I think is what we said during.
And Okada wins the Best Dressed Buck Award.
Which buck wore it best does go to Okada this week. I will allow it. I think I'll allow it. But with that, thank you guys so much for listening as always. We are at Dojo and Dynamite on Twitter, at Dojo and Dynamite on Instagram, dojoanddynamite@gmail.com, and we'll catch you soon. Thanks, guys.